Open up your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. We'll talk about a higher form of prayer. You know, there's a funny thing about intercessory prayer is some people say, well, I'm not called into that office. You may not be a full-time intercessor, but we're all called to intercede. You know, there's some professional, there's some full-time intercessors that literally spend all day, every day, praying, or 8 hours out of the day, praying. Some will have a specific ministry that they pray for. Some people will have a specific group of people that they pray for. You know, some people will have a combination, but they have intercessors. And some of the big ministries have a whole bunch of intercessors. That's what they do. That's their job. They go in there every day and they intercede for that ministry or different projects that the ministry is going to have. But we've all been called to participate in intercessory prayer in some form or another. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Most people are overwhelmed by the problems that they see in government. The national debt is out of control. Foreign policy is out of control. How can one person have an effect? Well, maybe not one person, but what if a whole bunch of people started praying, got into agreement? I don't know if you remember the election when Hillary was running against Trump, and when we started watching on TV, Hillary was way up there and Trump was way down. Kenneth Copeland started a nationwide prayer vigil. And actually, there was people all over the world that was praying. And at the time, at the specific time that he told everybody to pray, you could just see their lines cross, and Trump shot up to the top. It was the coolest thing I ever saw. Yeah. But that's what happens when people get into agreement and start praying along the lines that we've been given. It's an interesting thing about people. Is a lot of times they won't pray unless there's a real sense of urgency. You know, the cat's got you by the tail. Let's start praying. Huh? Start praying before the cat gets there. You know, I've noticed this. Remember when 9/11 happened and they hit the Twin Tower, the Twin Towers came down? The churches were flooded. They were packed. People were looking for answers. There was a lot of questions. And then, you know, when they finally decided they had the answer, things kind of calmed down. You know, the people got busy and went back on to their everyday life and doing whatever it was they were doing. They lost that sense of emergency. Then when it looked like Hillary was going to get elected, we remembered the gatekeeper. She wanted to be the gatekeeper. People started praying. And then somehow they got sidetracked with COVID and they thought there was no way that Biden could beat Trump. Because I didn't see that sense of urgency anymore. They were worried about other things. And then, boy, were they shocked when Trump lost. But here's the thing. We've always got some kind of a reason to have urgent prayer. There's always something around us or somebody around us that could cause us to have urgency in our prayers. Now, look at Romans chapter 13, verse 1. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now go to Proverbs chapter 21, 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. You know, I sometimes have a real hard time understanding how God ordained Biden to be in presidency. I really do. But there's one thing I've noticed now, is that there's a lot of people around the nation that are waking up. There's even staunch Democrats that are saying, this is not right. I started thinking about 15 years ago that there was going to be some kind of a great awakening happen. I couldn't understand what it was, and I thought it was going to be part of, you know, this great population of people turning to God. And I still think that's going to happen. I think that there's going to be a lot of people turn to God. There's going to be a great harvest that's upon us. I don't know what event is going to cause it, but I think there's going to be a lot of people that start looking to God for the answer because the world has gone nuts. But we're supposed to cast our eyes upon Jesus. But if we will pray for our leaders, they'll fall in line with God's word. Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4 did. He fell in line with God's word. You know, I don't know about a whole bunch of these people. I think how they're going to fall in line with God's word is the judgment that he has put out there in his word. The day will come to an end. Eventually, Jesus is going to bring us all together in the unity of the faith, not our doctrine. It does absolutely no good to argue doctrine with anybody. People try that with me all the time. It's just a waste of time. There's no sense in arguing doctrine. If you can't come into agreement on Jesus, then don't waste your time. You know, there's always somebody. I've noticed this more particular about the Bible Belt than anywhere else. There's always somebody ready to fight about religion. They will get mad. They will fire you. They will not do business with you if you don't agree with their religion. That's not what Jesus was after. He wants us in unity and agreement. No one can overthrow God's purpose for his people. See, that's the one thing that you have to hold on to during all this craziness, is God has already laid out his plans for us. He told us what the long life fully satisfies and show us his salvation. He's talked about a millennial reign. He's talked about restoration of this world, of this earth. He's talked about completing our redemption. There's a lot of things that if the wrong people were in control, that would be thwarted. That is not going to happen. God will not let anybody overthrow His purpose for our lives. That should cheer you up. That's exciting. Now let's go over to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So we need to become spiritually minded. I used to hear people say, "Don't become so spiritually minded that you're no earthly good." I've seen people get so religious that they really just kind of shut people off. But I think we should be so spiritually minded that we could actually do some good in the world. You know, it wouldn't hurt anybody to go out and witness to other people, to pray for other people, to help other people, feed other people, bless other people. It wouldn't hurt us to do that. And that, you have to be spiritually minded to do that. But I have ran into people that gotten so far off into their religion that they wouldn't go on certain job sites because they were playing Golden Oldies on the radio. And it's like, are you kidding me? They wouldn't go on certain parts of the job because somebody cussed. What, are you? Do you think he's going to defile you or something? See, they're getting so religious that they're no earthly good. They're not so spiritually minded. Jesus went all over the place. He went places that no Jew would go. And the big thing about Him is He ended up interceding for people. You know, the woman at the well, she was in trouble. Jesus went right into a place where no Jew would go. And He blessed her. She actually went off and told everybody about it. And they came around and they found out about the Savior too. That's being so spiritually minded that He was some earthly good. If anybody had a reason to not run elbows with somebody else, it would be Jesus. He had every excuse to not rub elbows with sinners. But that's the one thing He did. In fact, the Bible tells us He came to seek and to save the lost. Praise God. Well, we were all lost till we got born again. So we need to... God has called us to intercede. That's one thing that we need to band together on. Now here's the... This is the craziest thing. Is getting people to agree. Getting people to agree. Even on some little thing. You can pick somebody out in the public that you know needs to be born again, and getting three or four people to agree on his salvation might be hard. Because one of them will say, well, no, I know what he did 10 years ago. No, he's a drunkard. I know, that's why he needs to be saved. But he was a wife beater 5 years ago. I know, that's why he needs the forgiveness of God. But he did these bad things 2 years ago. I know, that's why somebody needs to tell him about Jesus. You know, none of us qualified for salvation on our own. Only because of the blood of Jesus did we get saved. Now the key to accuracy in prayer is in John chapter 16, verse 23. And this is not just for intercessory prayer. John chapter 16, verse 23. In that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. How about that? He was talking about your joy, not his. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because he has loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. Right there, Jesus was telling us to pray to God for ourselves. Pray to God in the name of Jesus. Not only for ourselves, but for others. Now, there's some people that say, oh, you should never, ever pray for yourself. You're being selfish if you do. Really. Tell me that when you're running 104 temperature and you haven't been able to eat for 3 days. Tell me how selfish you are when you ask God for help. See, people need to think things through a little bit. Jesus right here was telling us to let God be God in our lives. Ask him for help. He created you. He knows what you need. Ask him. And he said that your joy may be full. Now, if he didn't want you to pray for yourself at times, then why would he put that in there? He wants us to pray to God in his name so that we can receive not only the things that we need, but the things that we want. And here's a kicker. You can have somebody that you deeply care about that needs to be saved, and you can pray for them. And that'll make your heart really sing when they get born again. You may end up praying for somebody, interceding for them for a long time. One guy, he's a good friend of mine, and he got strung out on meth. And I prayed for that guy and prayed for that guy and prayed for that guy. I reached out to him. He wouldn't talk to me. He didn't want to be seen by me. I wasn't going to judge him. I'd just reach out to him, but he wouldn't talk. For him and prayed for him and prayed for him and prayed for him. And one day I finally got a release. I had my answer. And I didn't go running over to his place to check on him. I didn't go running over to his neighborhood to try to find him. I didn't ask anybody about him. In fact, it was probably 4 years after that, I ran across him on Facebook. So I friended him, and he friended me back. And he posted a picture on there, and I said, "You know something? You look like a pastor." He says, "I am." How cool is that? That's cool. He got saved. He got Jesus saved him. Jesus cleaned him up. That's wonderful news. That makes joy happen in your heart. Ask the Father in the name of Jesus. Now look over to Luke chapter 11, verse 2. He said unto them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now, right there, he told us to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Jesus endorses your prayer with his name. You are given free access to the throne of God. How about that? And the Lord's Prayer, you know, we always say that, or we say that a lot, but actually that's just an outline. Jesus said, pray along these lines. So there's a lot of different ways you can intercede in the Lord's Prayer. Not only are you going to be praying for yourself, but you're going to be praying for other people around you. You're going to be praying for government. You're going to be praying for leaders. You'll end up praying for a lot of different things. You'll be praying for the lost. Have you ever wondered sometimes how somebody seems to just all of a sudden change? You know, all of a sudden they get born again. It's like you're scratching your head. You're wondering, this guy was crazier than a pet coon 2 days ago. Now he's shouting about Jesus. Well, somebody had been praying for him. Somebody had prayed for him a long time. And then somebody just happened to come by and witness to him, and he received Jesus as a Savior. But we do not pray to Jesus. We can pray. Well, see, here's the thing. We worship Jesus, praise Jesus, but we're to pray to the Father. He told us to. Communicate with Holy Spirit. But he didn't say pray to the Holy Spirit. He said pray to God. In fact, we pray to the Father, and the Holy Spirit helps us. We do not pray in the name of Christ. He told us in the name of Jesus. I noticed there are some people that will, in their prayers, in a whole bunch of different ways other than the name of Jesus. And that's the one way that Jesus told us to end our prayers. And in fact, I would strongly suggest that you start your prayer in the name of Jesus. Then the next thing we need to understand is we must believe that we receive when we pray. That means when we pray today, you're not going to come Sunday and ask me to pray for that thing again. Because it won't be the same. I'll thank God for the answered prayer. I'll do a lot of things, but I'm not going to ask Him for it again. Did we believe that we received it when we prayed it? Then don't ask again. Just keep thanking God for it and praising Him for the answer. Amen? Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your words and your power. We thank you for Holy Spirit, who is always here to teach us. He's always here to guide us. He's always here to show us how to rightfully divide your word. Father, we thank you that you have seated us in heavenly places at the right hand of you, in Christ Jesus, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And you've actually placed our enemies under our feet. So, Father, the only reason that we would not walk in victory is because we choose not to. But, Father, we thank you for your Son, who's given us His name so that we can have victory in Jesus. Amen.